According to the most recent Gallup survey, 3 out of 4 Americans believe in the paranormal. Mike and I happen to be included in the percentage that believes. Why? Because of the experiences we've had and the evidence we've collected. When we had the opportunity to investigate the buildings on an entire block of historic Smithfield, Utah, we jumped at the chance. Rumored to be haunted, the Destination Mystery Team investigated the Smithfield Theater and the other buildings located on that city block, one of which I had my own paranormal experience in. Stay tuned. Mystery Media Group presents Case File 29.
You are listening to Mystery Media Group.
Yay!
Hi!
That was unexpected. Franny was in the room.
I'm trying to do it like Franny, but Franny does it better.
Mike, we should talk a little bit about our weekend.
This weekend?
We go on a lot of different things that we don't ever put on our podcast.
Yeah.
So Mike and I went to, and Michelle, and Sierra and Bella from Paranormal Teams went to Twin Falls this weekend, Twin Falls, Idaho. And we explored a little bit. We saw Shoshone Falls. We saw the bridge. What's it called again?
Marines Bridge.
That's a huge bridge that goes across
Snake River Canyon.
Is it a gorge?
Yeah. It's in the movie, one of the Terminators, where they fly up and down this canyon. That's the bridge and canyon that they're flying in. Terminator Salvation is the one where they're flying their ships up and down that canyon. It's also the canyon where Evel Knievel tried to jump across it and didn't quite make it.
Remember,
the chute failed.
It like went off too early, and so he didn't make it across. But then we found out that somebody else did in 2016, the rocket-powered bike that was built by the son of the guy who built the one for Evel Knievel.
Yes.
And he made it across. I don't remember his name, though. There was a memorial at the bottom of the gorge where 3 jumpers didn't make
it. Jumpers.
We also got to go through an abandoned motel and Stricker Ranch.
Stricker Ranch, yeah.
At Rock Creek, right?
Yep.
Which was a stop along the Oregon Trail.
Yeah,
we got to investigate the cemetery there, which was quite interesting, and we will have to do an episode on that. Those were our weekend adventures. Anywho, this episode is going to be about an investigation that we did in Smithfield, Utah, and we actually investigated a whole block of buildings. I'll start with the Smithfield Theater, and then Michelle, you can talk about some of the history we learned about the other buildings. How does that sound?
Sure.
Okay, so the Smithfield Theater was built in 1899 as a community social hall, and it was used for stage, dances, skating, and boxing. And it became a movie theater in 1939 after a remodel, which enlarged the theater and blocked in the stage house. In 1996, it became the home of the Stage Stop Theater. The Stage Stop installed new carpeting and chandeliers and a grand drape and removed the walls of the old stage house. And then that stayed in operation until August of 1997. I remember hearing a lot of stories around town of people who have had paranormal experiences in that theater. And I'd never actually been, so I was quite curious to go in and investigate. But the other buildings that are connected to it that he owns, one of them is Jim's Grill. It used to be a restaurant. And I actually did have a paranormal experience there once when we went to have dinner. I had walked down to the hall to the restroom, which kind of looks like an old saloon
Western.
Yeah, old Western saloon type place. And it's got like all the original hardwood floors, and the doors and the bathroom kind of look original and everything to what they would have had back in the day. And as I was coming out of the bathroom, something rushed up behind me. I could feel like the presence of somebody. And so I turned real quick to see who it was, and nobody was there. So that was
that Jim's bar?
Jim's Grill. Yep.
Jim's Grill.
Yep. It was a good place to eat. We're kind of sad that it closed down.
Yeah, it was really good. It's one of my favorite places.
It was good food.
So Michelle, do you want to kind of talk about what we learned about the history of those buildings there?
Okay. So if we head down the block from the theater, next to it, it used to be last a restaurant, but it was originally first jail that was built in Smithfield in 1904. It still has the 2-foot thick walls in the very back of it. And there's even some bars left in the little windows in the back. And from that one, it's connected to what used to be an antique store, but it was originally a doctor's office. And it was rumored that several people had died in that doctor's office. And then from the doctor's office, it connects to the restaurant, to Jim's Grill. And I think that one was always a bar and grill there on the corner.
The whole block of buildings is huge. And there was a bunch of antiques and memorabilia in that Jim's Grill that's still there. And there's still a bunch of antiques and stuff in the antique store that used to be the doctor's office. A lot of really cool stuff there.
It was pretty cool. It was.
I wanted to take some home with me. They were pretty.
I know, me too. Should ask if they're for sale. We started in Jim's Grill. Marty gave us a tour and we walked around and kind of did some readings with our EMF detector and our temperature gauge. And there's like 2 different basements and there's 3 different floors. There's an office upstairs and we just explored the whole thing. And Michael, wasn't that where you originally heard a hello or a hey?
He walked through and he turned all the lights on and showed us where everything was at. Then we, as soon as he left, we came back and turned all the lights off because it was more fun that way. And we did Jim's Grill and everybody had left and I was the last one coming out. And some of the lights turned on behind me. The bathrooms were on motion sensors, but they turned on. So I turned around to see what was going on because there was nobody supposed to be behind me. And I went in to the bathrooms and came back out and I heard somebody yell, hey. It was clear enough and I thought for sure somebody was standing right there. So I turned back again to look for somebody and I never did see anything, but it was as clear as day. Is it the same bathroom that you're talking about where you had that?
In the exact same area, which is interesting.
I'd bet $100 somebody was standing there.
Yeah, I thought so too. We've got Cosette here with Not So Cozy Crimes, who investigated with us that night. And she kind of heard the same thing later in the evening there in that hall. Do you want to talk about that?
Well, I think I heard a shh. I remember hearing somebody telling us to be quiet, like shh. Wiz, me and you, we were walking around by ourselves. We were walking around with our flashlights, just kind of looking at stuff. And we were just kind of goofing off and giggling. And all of a sudden I hear a shh.
Yeah.
And it gave me chills.
And it was right in the hallway where I had my experience with something rushing up behind me, and it would have been in the same spot where you would have heard the hay.
Yeah, it was in the hallway.
I didn't like that hallway. It was creepy, and it had those 2 pictures of Frank and Jesse James.
Yeah.
It was just weird. The closer I got to those pictures, I didn't like it. I got a creepy feeling with those pictures.
We decided to do a spirit box and EMF or EVP session in the room that's just off of that hallway. There used to be like tables and stuff in there for dining. It now contains a piano and a bunch of old saddles and stuff.
And he said that piano was like really, really old. He said it's one of the most antique things in there. And
that's an old player piano.
Yeah, he said, rumored to people would hear it playing and there'd be nobody there.
And I was hoping to hear it play, but
I was hoping during our thing, I'd be like, no. Ding.
We didn't hear that, but I did get a few things from our session. This first question just is, can you play us a song? We'll let you listen to it and see what you hear.
Can you play us a song?
I would.
Let me tone down this a little bit. It's a man's voice. We're going to play it again.
Can you play us a song?
I would. Mm-hmm. I would.
That was very distinct.
I would. Yeah.
He's saying I would. I can't remember why we asked about a dog. Do you remember?
I thought we heard like dog collar or something.
Oh, we heard like a jingle that sounded like a dog collar. And there were there dog prints in the...
There was dog footprints on the floor.
That's right. So I'll play this one.
Did you bring your dog in here? I did.
I did.
Oh, wait, I didn't hear.
It's the same voice.
Did you bring your dog in here? I did.
Oh, that's cool.
Do you have anything you want to tell us? Tom? Is your name Tom?
It sounded like Tom to me.
I think it's I'm Tom.
Yeah. In my notes, I have that we got the name Tom.
I think it says literally I'm Tom.
Do you have anything you want to tell us? Tom?
But that voice almost sounds a little deeper than the other two voices to me. We kept hearing a whistle. Do you remember that?
Yes, we'd get whistle a lot in answer to our questions.
Here's one of them.
Well, I have a device here that can help you if you want to talk. It should be able to pick up your voice.
It almost sounds like he's whistling.
Well, I have a device like here that can help you if you want to talk. It should be able to pick up your voice.
He's whistling for his dog or his horse or something. And then we asked about the whistle.
Does your whistle mean yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so if we ask yes or no questions, you can whistle for yes.
I don't know what that last one says, but this one says yes.
Does your whistle mean yes?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so if we ask yes or no questions, you can whistle for yes.
Huh, maybe it was a whistle.
Maybe. And then that was a really noisy room. I think it echoed a lot. That's why the recordings are kind of strange. But this one, we were just asking about the noise.
Does this noise bother you? We'll turn it off.
I can't tell.
I don't know what it says, but it kind of sounds like the same male voice that said Tom.
Play it one more time.
It's two words.
Does this noise bother you? We'll turn it off.
I hear turn it off.
You do?
Turn off. Uh-huh.
Does this noise bother you? We'll turn it off.
Yeah. Yeah, I can hear that. Probably was annoying. It was pretty loud.
Can you come touch this flashlight on the ground?
I kind of heard trouble, but...
Can you come touch this flashlight on the ground?
What do you guys hear? I don't know. I hear something different.
Touch it.
Oh, maybe. What it is.
Can you come touch this flashlight on the ground? Can you come touch this flashlight on the ground?
I hear. Goes it? It sounds like trumpet, but it probably is.
It probably is.
That makes more sense.
Like almost like a question.
Like touch.
Touch it.
Okay, Tom, we're going to go to a different area. Do you want to say anything before we leave?
That was cool.
Run?
He either said run or Tom.
Okay, Tom, we're going to go to a different area. Do you want to say anything before we leave? Run?
But I don't know if you hear right before he says that. I think it's Sierra says it got real cold. And then you hear that.
What was this building before it became a restaurant?
I don't know.
Trump.
That's what it sounds like. Trump or...
Dump.
What was this building before it became a restaurant?
But again, it sounds like that same voice. See, this is the last one we got from that session.
What would you like us to know before we leave, Tom?
That was weird. Scream. Yeah, that was weird. And it didn't sound like
it sounded like one of the other voices.
What would you like us to know before we leave, Tom? What would you like us to know before we leave, Tom?
Almost sounds like they say stop it.
Does it sound like he's kind of yelling or
yes?
But it doesn't sound like a male. It sounds like a girl's voice to me.
Yeah, like in.
There's a woman yelling, stop it.
So those are the ones that I got off of that session. I also remember Sierra was recording with my IR camera, and she was getting some weird misty light things on the camera right around the saddles.
I was getting that with my thermal too.
Yeah.
You're talking in the room by the piano and the saddles?
Yeah.
I didn't know she was getting that by the saddles because I was getting them too.
On your thermal?
Yeah.
And I believe we asked, are these your saddles? And are you standing near the saddles? And the times that we were asking questions about the saddles, we would get a whistle, the same whistle. It was like, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah.
So we felt like we were talking to Tom. We're not sure who Tom was. And I did ask Marty if he knew of a Tom. And he said, not off the top of his head, but doesn't mean there isn't one there. Anything else you want to mention about Jim's grill? Because that flashlight kept going weird. Like,
oh, yeah, that is true.
It was like strobe.
It happened both twice. Happened in Jim's grill by like all those buffalo heads in Buffalo. And then there's all those tables that are kind of stacked.
Mm-hmm.
And at the end of that hallway, there was like a fake Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Every time we walked through there was when it would do that. And we thought maybe it was like an electrical thing, but that shouldn't have affected the flashlight.
Mm-mm. Mine didn't. And I had to say,
that's where I heard a hi.
Oh, so you heard a shh in the hallway by the bathrooms and then a hi.
I remember hearing a hi.
And that would like been the front lobby area of the restaurant. So from there, we went on to explore and investigate the doctor's office / antique store.
We were downstairs of that and we heard footsteps upstairs, remember?
Oh, yeah. That's right.
We were all looking at them
and knocking.
And knocking. We thought for sure somebody was upstairs.
That's right. And we came running back up to see who was there and nobody.
We didn't find nothing and the doors were still locked.
We locked all the doors.
But I was certain there was somebody upstairs walking. You could hear the footsteps.
Yeah, it was a clump, clump, clump right on that hardwood floor.
Yeah, I grabbed one of the antique, I think it was a fire poker or something, as I came up the stairs. Because I was pretty certain somebody was up there.
Well, he's had...
From the footsteps.
Yeah, he's had some problems with people coming in and vandalizing his property. So when he told us to lock all the doors when we went in so that people wouldn't try and sneak in or whatever, which we did.
That's why I grabbed the fire poker.
Yeah, we locked everything.
I thought it was that.
So when we were down in that basement and we heard footsteps above us, we were like, whoa, some kids snuck in or something, but there was nobody there. So that was interesting.
Well, and around in the doctor's office, it felt like someone was following us. Especially that one hallway where you walked in between what could have been the reception area where those antique mailboxes were. I walked through there by myself and I swear I thought it was one of the kids that was following behind me.
Yeah, it was kind of the same little area where the lab was, right?
Like yeah.
The lab nurse's area.
Like behind the desk.
Yep.
Yeah, I kind of felt the same way. Definitely felt like you weren't the only one there.
We just always, no matter where we were at, we always heard like a knock or something on the other side, like the other side of the wall or the other side of the shop. And we'd be like, okay, where's everyone at? Are we all here? Who's over there? And then we'd go over there and then we'd hear it on the other side of the shop.
It was like it was trying to get us out of whatever space we were in at the moment and away from it.
Yeah, it was really interesting.
Because it wasn't like it was knocking in the same area every time.
Mm-mm. No, it was constantly away from us. It kind of draw us away.
When we moved on from there into what used to be the old jail, Cosette did an Estes session there. She was in one of the cells with the headphones and the spirit box, and we were out in the hall asking questions. One of the questions that we asked was, what happened here? And she said, fire. And there had been a fire upstairs in the attic above us.
I remember getting lots of numbers.
It seems like one of the numbers
was Merlin Olsen's
jersey number. And Merlin Olsen was a football player that played for USU in Logan, Utah. He also played for Logan High School. And then he moved on to become a movie star. He was in Little House on the Prairie. And one of the numbers she got was his college jersey number.
That's right. I do remember that.
And that was hanging up on the wall in there.
Yeah, there was a picture.
His picture and jerseys were in there.
There was a picture of him hanging on the wall. I want to say it was signed by him.
There were several of them, yeah.
The Estes session that she did, other than the one answer we got about the fire, didn't really make sense. Mm-hmm. It didn't really go along with what the questions that we were asking. So don't know if they were trying to tell us something else or what. I don't know.
I just remember when we were standing off away from her that all of us just got freezing cold, like the temperature just drastically dropped. It was a very noticeable drop in temperature.
I think we actually noted that the temperature dropped
like 5 degrees.
It was like 6.7 degrees. Within just a few seconds, it had dropped pretty quick. And it was already cold. It was really cold. So then we moved on to the Smithfield Theater, which was the part that I was most excited about investigating just because of some of the stories that I heard. And Marty even said himself that he's never actually experienced anything major there, but he mentioned that there was a territorial male figure that liked to be up in the box office and that several of his employees had been scared by this entity, whatever, whoever it was. We did go up to the box office and do a spirit box session and an EVP session, and we didn't get anything audible, but I got pushed as I was coming through that door. I was the last one to come through.
It was stuck on that old shag carpet. It was hard to push.
Yeah, you had to push it pretty hard. But as I was the last person to come through into the box office, or not the box office, the projector.
Yeah.
Place. Yeah. Like I got pushed, like something pushed my backpack that was on my back, and then the door just slammed. And I remember,
and there was no like hint, those auto closing hinges or anything like that on the door.
No, because it was stuck open on the carpet when we were walking through. So yeah. It was kind of weird. And then it kind of made me mad. So I was like, okay, hot stuff. Try and do that again. And nothing happened. But Michael's like, what if it did? I don't know. I didn't think about that.
You were pushed over the top of the balcony.
Yeah. But while we were up there, do you remember the lights?
The exit lights turned off before we even got up to the film box. But when we were up there, the one by the staircase turned on.
And I remember I have on film like some orbs and stuff kind of bouncing through that area. It's not like a bug that would just fly. They were like bouncing kind of from seat to seat. But there was a lot of weird light anomalies when we were up in the projector area, looking down across where the seats would have been and the stage.
What did the girls see or experience? Something happened to them.
Yeah, we were sitting on the sofa and everybody kept moving. Like nobody wanted to sit in that corner.
There was something on that side of the couch.
But like everybody kept sitting on the other side of me. I'm like, I don't want to sit next to it. And nobody else wanted to sit next to it.
So there was like a definitive presence. And they did mention that it felt like a male presence.
And it was completely.
Well, and didn't we put the flashlight over towards it after that?
Yes, we did.
And when you asked it to turn it on, it turned the flashlight on.
Yeah, we got flashlight activity. That always blows my mind.
The flashlight?
Yeah. Came on specifically when we asked it to. But then we asked it to turn off and it just stayed on. But it did dim. So
it was like it was trying to be turned off. But
maybe whoever was turning it on tried to turn it off. But if this male presence was up there, which the girls obviously felt in that corner, and I felt something push me. So it did seem like a territorial male presence, but he wouldn't give us any answers, wouldn't tell us who he was or why he was there. Did leave EMF recorder up there when we went and investigated some of the other areas of the building. And when I came back and got it and played it back, there was nothing on it except for about 10 seconds. Was a really weird frequency and almost sounded like something was trying to talk or speak a different language. It was weird. So yeah, I mean, I don't really remember anything else. It was quite interesting. It's funny that like, I hear these stories, I hear the history, and I think I know what I'm going to experience when I get there. And it's hardly ever what I thought. I definitely felt like there was presence of cowboy or a bartender or something at Jim's Grill, and possibly a woman there too. Definitely felt a presence in the jail area. Definitely felt a presence in the doctor's office.
The scariest place for me was the doctor's office.
Yeah.
Or the most, where I felt something.
Anything else you want to mention about that place? Yeah.
Other than it was a ton of fun.
It was way fun. I wish we could have stayed longer, I think.
Snooping around through everything, looking at the old building, going in the basements. It was just fun.
I mean, that's half of the fun of, for me, is just going through those places and exploring everything. And it was so cool to be able to explore that entire block with all the basements and tunnels. And
it's so weird how they all connected. Yeah. I never knew that they all connected.
Do you remember when we were kids and we'd go into Hunter's drugstore?
Yeah.
Several of those connected.
Yeah, I remember that. And they just had doors that closed in between.
When we went to the copper mill, all those doors were connected in the basement.
Yeah, that's you're true. Right. We do really want to thank Marty for letting us come in and explore everything. He was very gracious. He didn't even know me. And
he was nice.
He was nice enough.
He's very nice.
If you enjoy our show, please like, subscribe, and leave a 5-star review. We will be introducing other Mystery Media Group guests in our upcoming episodes, along with weekly bonus material. If you'd like to see more pictures and evidence from our adventures, visit www.destination-mystery.com. You will find a link to our blog, as well as a link for merch and contact information. Until next time, find your own destination.
Solve the mystery.
This is a production of Mystery Media Group.
Yay!